Welcome to the Candor Communication Podcast, where we discuss interpersonal communication and all the human stuff that gets in the way. Join us as we learn to get our message across with more courage, clarity, and connection. Hi, I'm Mark.
And I'm Divan.
Hey, Mark, so welcome to episode 50. Can you believe we've made it this far?
Wow, 50 is, I feel like if I'm a cricket player, that's a half century. So that's a good innings.
Yeah, that's right. It makes me feel like, oh, we're only halfway there. But I feel like 50 is a solid number. I'd be happy with 50 as a cricketer.
Definitely.
But what I thought I'd also do with episode 50 is just share some of the stats with the listeners as well, because I think it's quite interesting. You know, usually you don't get to see behind the scenes as much, and we thought maybe you can share a bit behind the scenes. And Mark, because I know you haven't really seen as much of the stats that I have, so I'm kind of curious to kind of see what your thoughts on some of it.
Yeah. No, I do like my numbers, but I haven't been checking in the stats, so you'll know by my facial expression.
So one of the things that I'll ask you actually is, how many countries listen to the podcast?
Well, that's a good one. I mean, I tend to focus in on Australia because, you know, we are in Australia, so I think, you know, we must have an Australian audience. But then I'm aware that we've had guests in many parts of the world. So, you know, doing some numbers racing around in my head, I feel like saying maybe 15.
15? Yeah. Okay. Would it surprise you to say that we've had downloads in 79 countries?
Yes, 79. I'm saying 15. I think I'm probably on the lower side, but not expecting 79. I thought 15 maybe to 40 might shock me. But 79, I don't even know if I can name 79 countries.
Yeah, so some of them are, you know, countries I had to kind of look up on the internet. It's like, I didn't know there was a country. So that was quite interesting. So you mentioned Australia would be one of the top ones. And interestingly, it's number two.
Oh.
So it's not the most popular country in terms of downloads. At 32%, it's at number two. Who do you think is the number one? Like, which country?
Oh, I think I'm getting my passport ready. I'm not wanted in Australia. So, where do I want to go to? I mean, I'm thinking who would like to listen to podcasts. And I quickly think America, but then I don't know. I think, could it be China, India, some of the big population countries? I don't know. If you can force me to pick, I'll go to the US next.
Yeah, then you'd be right. So we just ticked over in terms of USA is number one at the moment at 36%. And I'll give you a list of the other top 10. So we've got US, Australia, India, Canada, UK, South Africa, Germany, Singapore, France, and Spain. So that's the top 10. And everything, I think, below India is like, you know, 5% or you know, or less. So some of the, you know, it's 79 countries, but some of them have only had one download ever. So clearly they didn't weren't a fan, but thanks for stopping in anyway.
They all count, and I think my son will be impressed that the Americans like to listen to us. He wants us to move to America. He thinks that they have a better army and a better defense force, and if we're in trouble, it's better to be in the US, is his opinion. So I'll let him know that.
Yeah, that's great. And so in terms of number of downloads, so how many downloads do you think overall we've had so far in total?
50 episodes. Let me do some, I'm going to do some math here. I've got to say 5,000.
Okay. We will be just over 8,000 pretty shortly. So 8,000. And we saw a pretty big step up in downloads actually since September. So we're at about 500 per month since September, which is quite interesting. So that's, yeah, number of downloads. Favorite episodes, which ones do you think would be in the top? Or which one do you think is, let's say the top three? What would you pick in terms of download number?
Yeah, I've been thinking. Like, I know which ones are my favorite episodes, but I know we did the podcast with Ashley Fico, and one of her phrases I've never forgotten is, you are not your audience. So
yeah,
just because it's my favorite doesn't mean it's other people's favorite. So what do I think is other people's favorite? I had a lot of feedback about the first episode on emotional intelligence with Grant. And I tend to think some of the early episodes could get some more hits because if someone's going to look at our podcast for the first time, they might start from the beginning. So I'm thinking maybe Grant's, but I also know some of the other ones were quite popular. I'll go with Grant.
So Grant's still in the top 10. He's been hanging in there. And he had been actually the number one for quite a while, up until quite recently, actually, a few months ago, we saw a big spike up. And now the most downloaded episodes, so number one is actually Nikki Vinogradov.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, and then Lisa Linky is number two and Amanda Lutterman number three.
There you go.
So that's quite interesting. So that's the top three, but we'll dive deeper into some highlights over the last 50 episodes, which is really the intent of this episode. It's just to reflect a little bit and share a bit of the highlights and some of the lessons we've learned along the way. And it's even more poignant, really, because we will be putting the podcast on hold after this. So we found that, okay, we've reached a half century. We may retire now.
Yes.
So we'll be putting the podcast on hold indefinitely at this point. We may start it up again in the future, but for now, we're definitely going to be putting it on hold just to get a bit more balance between family and work and everything else. And, you know, at least I'm doing on my end. And I know, Mark, you probably feel similar because, you know, it is quite a big commitment to run the podcast. One stat I hadn't shared was the number of hours I'd gone into it.
Mm.
And when I was doing the numbers, it was close to like 30 or 40 hours per episode in terms of preparation, post-production, marketing, all that kind of activities spread between the two of us. It's probably about 30 to 40 hours per episode. So essentially we're doing an extra half a week's worth of work per week, which is not insignificant.
Not insignificant. And that's a lot of hours and not evenly split between the two of us. Devon, you were doing the bulk of those hours. So I don't know how you know, managed to do all those technical aspects of the podcast so efficiently and still be smiling on the podcast and keeping your cool, calm demeanor. That's quite impressive. But yes, a lot of hours, another big number, 30.
Yeah. So we're looking to, putting the podcast on hold. It'll still be available on you know, whichever platform you listen to. So we'll keep it on there, but there won't be any new content coming for a while. And, you know, in the future, maybe we will bring it back up, but it will be in the far future, I see. not in the near future if we do recommence it.
Yeah. And I do recommend people go back and listen to some of those episodes. I was just flicking through some today and I thought, oh, there's some really good content there, even for myself to just re-listen to. So, you know, if any of you listeners are thinking that, well, the podcast is suspended and what am I going to listen to? I'd say go back and check out a few more in detail or a bit more slowly. There's a wealth of good stuff in there.
Yeah, that's right. And I think one of them that kind of stood out to me in terms of this very topic of balance was, I think it was shortly after the Chris Mohefka episode where he was talking about not chasing accomplishments and not, you know, just having more balance in life and being more sensitive to the things where life is saying, hey, you need to slow down, you need to take a break. Because he was, you know, powering through until he got a medical condition that took him out. And it was interesting because shortly after that episode, I was at my parents' place and I was working on the podcast, doing all this editing work. And my dad was like, oh, you know, I was listening to this podcast and they were saying that you need to, you know, have more balance. And so I was like, yep, that's not very helpful. Thank you. But point taken. So so in line with that advice, which it took me a while to implement, we're taking some steps now to get a bit more balance in life.
That makes sense. My wife has always said to me, you need to apply the things that you preach to other people to yourself. And I completely agree with you. There's lots of messages in these episodes that I can talk all day about to someone else, but applying it to yourself is another thing altogether. So totally agree.
So Mark, looking back then, so you said you had your favorites. Mm. What were some of them?
Chris is my number one favorite episode. And I think that's because it just applies to my life so strongly, so many parts of the episode. about, you know, being so achievement orientated, trying to be the best, trying to impress external people in other people, and going fast and doing all those things I could relate to. I think from the time he came on the podcast, he had a shirt on. I'm sure you remember. He had a t-shirt on, and that was speaking to me before he even said a word. And I mean, you remember what the t-shirt said, Devon?
Be the light.
Yeah, it was be the light. And what he went on to say about that t-shirt, be the light, he said, often we want to tell someone else what to do. We want to say to someone, you should do this, you should do that. And, you know, his experience was that people don't like that. And it's much better. It's much better to be the light, and people are attracted to the light. People want to copy you because they just see the light within you, as opposed to you telling them they should, you know, they should do this, they should do that. And you know, from the very start, that podcast rang a bell. And there were lots of messages that really jumped out to me. The other one that I can't get out of my mind is he said that we get warning signs in life. We get signs that we need to change. And his analogy was the feather, the brick, and the Mack truck. You know, sometimes we get a little feather that's giving us a warning that what you're doing needs to change, and then we don't listen. Then all of a sudden you get hit by a brick and it hurts. And surely that's a message. And you know, maybe some of us change when we get hit by that brick. And then for others, we have to wait till we get hit by an actual truck before we do something different in our lives. And that was, I won't forget that one.
Yeah, and I think it's very relevant because I think quite recently, you know, in our family as well, like someone has been hit by a truck in a sense and been taken out. So, you know, you're kind of looking back, now in hindsight, you can see those feathers and those bricks that, oh, that hurt. Oh, you know, I should have stopped. You know, now I'm forced to stop. So it was quite interesting, that analogy. I was like, oh, I should have, again, like you said, applied that sooner. But yeah, that episode also had a really big impact on me. I remember straight after recording it, I walked just to a cafe just down the road from our house. The sun was shining, the birds were singing. It was really nice. I just had a walk and got some food, got some takeaway food, brought it back. And my wife and I just had some lunch in the backyard area. And it was just a break from our normal routine. And it was just that kind of thing that, you know, your life is the moments right now. Like, and you can choose how you spend that. And, you know, why not make the most of the time? Like, I think it was just such a liberating way of thinking about how you spend your time and how to have the ideal day, that it was like, oh, wow, this really stuck with me. And you'll notice if you go back to the episode in the intro, I was trying to record, you know, the street noises, the birds singing while I was on that walk. So if you go back to the episode and listen to the intro now, you might hear in the background of the intro the birds singing and so on. That was me on the walk straight after the episode.
Oh, wow.
I'm not sure if I did it very well in terms of the intro. When actually I got some feedback on it, and someone said, oh, you've got some background noise in your audio. I was like, yeah, no, that was put there on purpose actually, but obviously it didn't come across well.
No, I think it's a good test to see who was really actively listening, who was really present when they were listening, and which people were just racing through the podcast, including myself. But yeah, on the back of that, one of the notes I took from that podcast as well was that countries that are less achievement orientated, and you know, people who are living at a slower pace in those countries, they tend to be happier. They spend more time with family and live more fulfilling lives. And it's sort of, you know, at times counterintuitive to us in these fast-paced lives where we think, you know, we're so successful and we're doing so well and we're achieving all these things and look how good we are. But it turns out we're not that happy. And, you know, so much of Chris's advice that I theoretically take on board, and I've been doing a lot of things, I think, in the last 6 months in particular to try to live that way. And, you know, and just with some subtle changes, you know, you can notice the difference very quickly. So that was certainly one of my favorites.
It reminded me a little bit as well of one of the first episodes we did with Adrian Spear, which also stuck with me. And both, like, the common messages of both of them, one was the benefit of meditation to increase the distance between stimulus and response. So the distance between something happening to you and then you responding to that. So I think that was very powerful. Because if you can master that, then, you know, if you can control yourself, you can control almost anything, right? Like controlling yourself is the hardest thing to do. And that was a very powerful message. But also Adrian had a similar thing about, you know, young people trying to rush in and trying to do too much, you know, try to get their dream house so soon that they, you know, have crippling debt and can't actually enjoy their life. And I thought, like, that's a good advice. I need to just make sure that you don't bite off more than you can chew. Like, what is the rush anyway? Who are we trying to impress? So I think there was a bit of overlap with those two episodes, and both of those really stood out to me.
Yeah, I did notice that theme come through in a few of the episodes we did. You know, even Grant's one about being yourself and not be so externally focused. There were episodes where we talked about the internal locus of control and the external locus of control, I suppose. And for me, that just that similar sort of message with a few of our guests reinforcing that how important that is to our society, to our culture, and the way we live. And that's why I guess it resonates with me, you, and many of our listeners.
And if you had to go back and choose a, say, funniest moment, are there any that come to mind?
I think of some podcasts and my reaction to them, and the ones where maybe I laughed a bit more. So it's probably not so much the moment that I'm thinking of immediately, but I think the podcast with Lisa, I felt like I was laughing and I just wanted to have a good time, and she was asking questions and putting us on the spots and giving us an example. So as a podcast whole, I thought that was that's the first one I think about in giving me a good laugh. What about you? Do you have like a particular funny moment that you jumps out of you?
Yeah, so the Lisa episode definitely was the funniest in my mind, and especially I think the time where and I did set this up on purpose, just for everyone's record. So we were talking about books, because in her, she's got a podcast where they review self-help books. Mm. And one of the ones that they did a scathing recommendation or review on was How to Win Friends and Influence People. And so when I said that, you know, Mark and I like the book,
yes,
her reaction was just really, really funny. she almost just hung up and walked out the room. She was not impressed, but
yes,
it was pretty funny.
Yes, I remember that still triggers something for me. You say that, I think, no, I do like that book. I've got so many copies. But yes, you know, I guess Lisa's insight was, you know, entertaining.
Yeah, and the other one that comes to mind moment was in our talk with Christian Fleck, in our conversation there, I think there's a point where I think you were just you were thinking about a question to ask him, and he could pick up on that, and he was like, okay, so just in terms of feedback, as an example, like, so in the moment he's just like, okay, in this right moment right now I'll give you some feedback, and it's like, I just noticed now that you're not paying attention. And so he just called us out. And I thought that was pretty funny, just in terms of how sharp he was to notice that, despite the fact that it was like a 6-second lag between us and and Europe, where he was recording from. So I think that was quite impressive and quite funny.
And quite appropriate to topic, you know, with Christian. Yeah. His topic of being present and being really there and, you know, being really switched on and, you know, sort of being in that state where you are really listening to the other person, you know, he demonstrated that. But now that you got me thinking a bit more, the other episode we did on introversion and about the wiggling the toes, and
Daisy Simonis, yeah,
Daisy, of course, with Daisy and the facial expressions I was making when during some of those moments, and then Daisy giggling away. I got that sound of Daisy laughing and giggling in the back of my mind. So that was another funny moment.
Yeah, that's right. When you feel, I think, what was it? It's like if you're feeling social anxiety and you're in a group, focus on your big toes to ground you, to bring yourself back into your body. And
yeah,
yeah, I think your facial expression was pretty gold. So.
So that's up there. That's up there in the good funny moments that I won't forget.
And in terms of the most inspiring guests that we've had, or episodes or moments, like anything that comes to mind, if I was to say most inspiring?
Oh, we've had so many amazing guests on the program. I think that the episode we did on forgiveness was up there and being inspiring in terms of having the ability to forgive another person who's, you know, devastated your life. I think that message was very inspiring. And other podcast episodes on turning around addictions. I think I was with Ashley. Ashley was talking about, you know, life not being so good and going through a really hard time, and then being able to now coach and guide and help other people is is very inspiring. So they're the two that come to my mind, but refresh me a little. What are some of your memories?
Yeah, the one with Ev Willington on forgiveness stood out to me as well. I think there's one, one quote that comes to mind when I think of him. He often said, forgiveness happens within your skin. It's not to do with the other person. It's not about telling them that it's okay, but it's something that happens within your own skin. So I thought that was quite a useful thing. But yeah, it was very inspiring considering that, you know, he forgave the person who murdered his mother. Mm. And also, I think another story touched me a lot from him was the guilt that he had and had to forgive himself after his brother committed suicide. And he kind of looked back at, you know, how he had handled some situations, you know, not ideally in this conversation where, you know, as a psychologist, he knew better, but as a, you know, as a family member, as a brother, you know, all those kind of old emotions and kind of insecurities and, you know, self-defense mechanisms, you know, kicked in, and he didn't really handle himself as well as he would have hoped. And having to deal with the guilt of that after the fact, I think that's something that, yeah, really stayed with me as well. A few others that came to mind as well was the episodes with Ricardo Gonzalez.
Yes.
So he's the only guest we've had on twice.
Yes.
And both topics were quite interesting, quite deep as well. So one was about cultural mastery and the other one was about belonging. And both of those topics I felt like could resonate quite strongly with, especially that bicultural aspect of it in terms of, you know, me personally moving from, you're migrating from one country to another, you kind of have to assimilate to a different culture. And he shared some stories there that I felt was definitely resonated and it was quite inspiring, as well as the one on belonging, kind of knowing that you don't belong in a culture and, you know, dealing with that. So those stood out to me. And I think one other person that I found super inspiring was the episode with Greg Van Borsum.
Yes.
So, I mean, he's just an inspiring guy. It's like he's just done so much. Mm. And it's super inspiring just talking to him. But I think one of the quotes that stood with me is about fear. And he said something like, you know, if you look at your fear and you go towards it, in it you find your greatest strength because you will overcompensate for it. And the thing that you thought you were weak at will become the superpower. And you basically said, like, the thing that you thought you were weak at, that's your greatest strength in waiting.
Yes.
And wow. I thought, that's quite, that kind of, I was like, oh, that hit the feels. I took all my wife. I was like, hey, you need to listen to this because this is pretty inspiring.
No, I agree. That's such a powerful message and not what we naturally think. And I think it's just, you know, I guess going through a number of podcasts now and getting these messages that hit home so strong. And as you're talking, you know, I think of the discussions with Ricardo as well being so inspiring, so relatable. And then I think one of the real beauties of the podcast has been getting to know some of the guests at a deeper level and some of the conversations we often have straight after the podcast. You know, I think I think we've often said to each other we should have kept the record button on because we have some of the most beautiful, emotional, real conversations that continue after the podcast. And you know, I think of some chats with Ricardo and some others where we get into some personal stories, you know, some of which you don't share everything on the podcast, but afterwards, and it helps to really explain some of the content. It's a bit like the quote from Greg that you just shared, that it becomes like your life passion or life focus because you've had these experiences or weaknesses or challenges that then can consume you for better or for worse at times. But yeah, I think we've got to know our guests really well. I had some great chats afterwards, and you know, it stays in the memory.
If I was to look, if I was to ask you about maybe most surprising things, so surprising information or surprising things that people have said on the podcast, yeah, or topics or things that we learned, anything that comes to mind for you?
I mean, I think you know me well enough, Devon. There's a number of topics that we went into in this podcast that I was like, I'm not sure. I mean, at the start of the podcast, at the start of this journey, my brain was thinking, we're going to talk leadership, yes. One of your passions, is leadership, Devon. I thought, we're going to talk relationships. I'm big on relationships and understand that makes sense. Probably talk about communication. We'll probably talk about, you know, storytelling and public speaking. They make sense. But then getting into grief, I was like, oh, this is getting deep now. We had a number of guests where we're getting into this topic of grief, and I thought, I'm not sure if I can handle that emotionally.
Mm.
And then getting to erotic empathy, I thought, oh, my goodness, this podcast is getting X-rated now, was what someone said to me before when I said, look, we're going to do an interview on erotic empathy. And they said, oh, that sounds a bit X-rated. And it's interesting.
And it was, yes.
But it's also in my list of, I think one of my learnings through the whole episode is some of the things that I was most scared of were some of the most enjoyable podcasts that I've been part of, and you know, probably had some of the most interesting takeaways from. So the episode with Amanda is right up there in terms of being one that I was nervous to have. But so glad we did. So glad we did in because it's one of those topics that I think a lot of people are scared of. They don't speak freely about. They feel either ashamed or they feel that they can't talk about it, or it makes them feel inadequate. And I did write a couple of, you know, quotes from the podcast, and one of them was, sexuality and eroticism is tightly linked to mental health. And, you know, and I can understand that. And then a related one is, sex is about communication and emotional regulation skills. And, you know, a strong link to the whole purpose and reason why we had the podcast. And so that was one for me. What about you? What do you think of?
Yeah, that was definitely, well, I guess I had the luxury of being the one organizing those ones. So at least it didn't surprise me that they were good because I could see the angle beforehand.
Mm.
But yeah, I think the Amanda one stood out. Because, I mean, it's definitely one that I was scared of as well. I was like, I want to have this conversation because I knew that it was something that would add value because it's an area that doesn't get talked about very much, at least in that kind of level of detail. But it definitely scared me, but I'm really glad we did it. Mm. And there's a few things like that kind of the idea of empathy in that sense was really powerful. It's like it's not about what you like, it's what they like. And also that when you're rejecting your partner because of how you feel about yourself, like it's not you, you're not rejecting yourself, you're rejecting them.
Yes.
Which was a really powerful one. It's like it's not about you, as in like it wasn't a kind of thing about, well, you should never reject your partner's advances, but it was like, well, the issue isn't with your partner, the issue really is you, and you displacing your action isn't lining up with where you need to kind of focus your attention really the message there. But that stood out to me. Surprising ones, I think you mentioned the Daisy Simonis focusing on your big toes. I think that was one that surprised me.
Mm.
Another one was the episode with Dr. Michelle Druin, and it was about back burners.
Yes.
So I think that actually really surprised me in the sense that how many back burners people have to their current relationship. So the people that they would consider having either a committed relationship with or a sexual relationship with, who is currently just, you know, say a friend. So there's no romantic advances or any kind of thing romantic going on right now, but in the back of, you know, the minds, there could be. And so I think people had like 4 to 8 back burners or something in terms of people you'd want to have relationships with. So that was quite surprising, even though you might be in a committed relationship right now. So people in relationships and single people have the same amount of back burners. So that was quite interesting and surprising.
Yeah, I agree. I think that makes sense maybe early on, or you just met someone and you're still sorting yourselves out and working out who's who and is this the right person. Then, yeah, that makes complete sense that you could have like a whole list of people who are potential partners. But in a really well-established relationship, to continue those lists is an interesting topic that's not well discussed. So that was in my top list of episodes too, in terms of being very entertaining, very interesting subject about technology impacting connection and intimacy and infidelity. So that was an episode I recommended to quite a few people. Go and listen to this one.
Yeah, especially the one about bedtime routines. I thought that was quite interesting as well. So just how important it is to go to bed with your partner at the same time. Just doing that is going to improve your relationship so much. And what I really like about her work is that it's all research based. So it's not, you know, some airy fairy, I think this is a good idea, but like there's data and research to back it up. So that was a pretty big takeaway for me, is try to go to bed with your partner at the same time, have a shared bedtime routine.
Yeah, so important. It just reminded me, and I was smiling because I remember my grandmother saying something to someone about, you know, bedtime is not just for sleeping. And having that cheeky sort of underlying message that, you know, if your husband or wife has gone to bed, then the other person should get there at some sort of time, or they should go to the bed at a similar time, because, you know, the bedroom's not just for going to sleep. Was an underlying message which fitted the podcast episode message.
Oh, that's great. Another one that stands out to me as well in terms of surprising is the Jessica Joelle Alexander episode about the Danish way of parenting. Because a lot of the advice that was in that book and through that episode is a bit counterintuitive, and, you know, I like that. Where, for example, there's a few things that are counterintuitive. One is about play being the most important thing a child can do for their education. The importance of play. So instead of trying to get them to learn the ABCs or their numbers, like, for them to play is actually going to, you know, be better for them to actually get educated. So that was one. The other one was about how Danish stories often do not have happy endings. So it's like, how does the happiest country in the world not want happy endings, right? So in contrast to, say, countries like the US, where everything's got to have a happy ending, and yet people are, you know, depressed and need medication. And, you know, so it's kind of like just interesting how experiencing the full range of emotion is kind of really important in order to be truly happy. And then the other one is around no praise. So how, if you overpraise your kids, then it develops an external locus of control and actually inhibits the self-esteem, because the self-esteem is what you think about yourself, not what others think about you. So, and how praise fits into that. So those are a few things that I find quite surprising and interesting from the episode with Jessica.
Yeah, I feel we're remarkably in sync with some of the episodes we're picking on here. That's on my list that I made a note on. And I thought a number of our guests have had books or good reading material before that I know you'd have read before we interviewed the guest. I didn't as much, but Jessica's book was one that I did read. And, you know, as a parent, it was one that sort of jumped out at me. And then listening to the, you know, being part of the podcast with her, and, you know, she, one of the things she said early on the podcast was she noticed the Danes do it differently to, you know, the Americans and the Australians. And so that was one that stood out. And then one of her stories was about having boyfriends, and her American boyfriends, she'd find out every achievement that they've ever had in the first 10 minutes of meeting them and all their accomplishments. with her Danish boyfriend, she didn't. And then it took her many years later, or many months, or, you know, a long time later, before she realized that he was actually a very good soccer player and, you know, had this chess ability and had these talents. And she was like, well, why didn't you tell me all that?
You didn't ask, and just
so different to this showy, externally focused culture that we can get caught up in.
Yeah. It was a really good episode. In terms of others that you're going to find, you know, very informative, like, are there any that come to mind?
Oh, you know, I think I'm always impressed when I go and listen to the podcast again, and I'm often doing the show notes and thinking that there's so much to gain. I think I've gained something from all the episodes. And, you know, if I run through the list and I get into them again, I think, yeah, there's so much. But let me start with you. What do you think is the most informative?
So important or informative, sorry?
Or both, but we can go with informative. I think your question was informative.
Yeah. I think, so I've got a list here, and it was interesting looking at them, because most of them are researchers, which is interesting. I think that says something about me, I think.
I see where you're going.
They were all backed by a lot of data and research, which I find, I appreciate. And yes, I think on my list was, we already spoke about Dr. Michelle Druin, Jessica Joelle Alexander was on my list in terms of being informative. But two we haven't spoken of yet is the one with Dr. Timothy Levine. So he was the deception researcher, which I thought was pretty cool. And to be honest, I think I was probably the most excited to talk to him, because, so I read a book prior to
I was thinking the most starstruck.
I wasn't as starstruck, I think. Yeah, because his work was featured on Malcolm Gladwell's book, Talking to Strangers. That's kind of where I first came across his work. And I was like, oh, that's a really interesting topic, that the topic of truth default theory. So how can you tell when someone's lying? And he's come up with a theory that can predict up to, I think, like 80%. Where you know most other researchers can only get to 51%. So basically, you're almost better off just tossing a coin to decide whether someone's lying or not. So managed to reach out to him, and we had a good conversation. That was really interesting because it also showed a lot about communication as well, in the sense that, and because he's not just, his focus is on deception, but he looks after, I think, the Department of Interpersonal Communication at the university that he's working at. So he's looking at communication more broadly. And he makes a link between the fact that we tend to believe information we hear. So our truth default. So when someone says something, you tend to believe it, you take it at face value because it's more efficient. You know, so you can get more things done if the communication is efficient than if you had to second guess everything you hear or see or read. And because then that means, you know, nothing happens. And it's our ability for that effective communication that actually allowed us to work together in a way as a species that then allows us to do what we have now, basically create civilization as we have now. And it's really the basis of trust, you know, so it's all about kind of, we as a default trust, probably more than we realize. But it also kind of, the other parts of his research show that, well, first, most people are honest, but the people who do lie more than average. So most lies are told by a very small minority of people, which means that if you can just identify the people who've lied to you in the past, chances are they'll lie to you again. So just highlighted again the importance of character when it comes to dealing with people and collaborating with people and the impact on trust. So I found his episode very interesting from a, you know, why as a species is communication so important and probably not valued as much as we give it credit for, but then also, you know, the more interesting topic about deception, how can you tell when someone's lying and how context is more important than tells, you know, you're saying like, that's, if you're trying to read body language or micro expressions, is like, that's, you know, so like every study that gets done finds different tells, different ways to, you know, so it's not consistent. So basically they're trying to fit, you know, what they were hoping to find around what they're finding as opposed to it actually being useful. So he's like, that's around, yeah, it's more like fairy tales and it's just not real. Like, so it was quite interesting kind of hearing his perspective on that.
Oh, definitely. And it reminds me of the Netflix show, the Tinder Swindler. There was a show on television last night where they were just talking about this topic of deception and fraud, and that topic came up again, and it was just amazing how some people, there's a small percentage of people who are just very, very good at lies, deception, fraud, and they are very, they often start doing that at a young age, and they're often, you know, it's just part of who they are. But yeah, that was a educational episode with Dr. Timothy where, you know, the other point is most of us are telling the truth.
Mm, yeah, which ties in with the episodes we've had about trust as well, you know, that probably, people are probably most... You know, they probably deserve your trust to begin with. You know, defaulting to trust is probably a good default considering most people tell the truth.
That's right.
Another one that stood out to me, and I know you really like this one as well, was the episode with Laurie Gilbertson.
Yes.
So I thought that she covered a whole range of things that we'd already discussed on the podcast. So one of them being, say, storytelling. But it was really interesting, like how those skills were applied in a courtroom, where it's kind of like, it's not about just seeing, okay, this is how I'm going to win a Toastmaster contest. Like, this is how I actually need to influence people who need to make a decision in my favor.
I agree. That was powerful because, you know, I often relate to my own experiences where I'm giving a Toastmaster talk or I'm talking to a fun sort of group or trying to do an entertaining or engaging presentation. And here we've got Laurie, who's in a courtroom setting where you've got life and death type situations and you've got really significant topics. And, you know, she's using that storytelling approach and using some of the basics that we learn through good public speaking and good communication about primacy and recency and you know, having a character and being relatable and observing the audience and watching the jury and listening to them and taking those feedback signals and signs from them. And some of her entertaining stories about someone leaving the jury box or wanting to leave. And so, yeah, that was a wonderful conversation.
Yeah, and I think with the storytelling is probably one area where I learned a lot. So we had a few. I think we had Laurie, we had Francisco Mafuz, and we had Gabrielle Dolan. Yes. So we had a few people on storytelling, and it was quite interesting for me to understand why storytelling was so effective. And it really comes down to really the neurobiology about how your brain works, right? In terms of we make decisions on an emotional level, whether you like it or not. You know, it's the emotional part of your brain is what helps you prioritize. And I think there was some research done on a person who actually, I think his amygdala, I think, was severed from his prefrontal cortex. So mm-hmm. the part of the brain that process emotion was separate from the part of the brain that does the rational thinking. And it was interesting, he could think through all the rational things, but he couldn't make simple decisions about which option to choose. So for example, even just a simple task like booking an appointment, he could give you all the reasons why every date is good or bad, but he couldn't make a decision as to which date he wanted to use for the appointment. So because that emotional part of the brain was just not there. So even though it's a rational decision, like it's the emotional part that actually makes a decision, that chooses the options that your rational brain kind of sifts through. So what was interesting was that storytelling really talks through both the emotional and the rational part of the brain. So it kind of, it addresses both, because if you don't get through the emotional part of the brain, it kind of like your brain just dismisses it. Like your emotional part of your brain is actually the first filter that needs to be gotten through before your rational brain can only think, because your emotional part of the brain deals with so much more information. It's like we're looking at like millions of processes per second, as opposed to your rational part that does like 40 processes per second, right? So your emotional brain filters all the noise out. So you need to get through that first. So if you kind of, if I tell you something and your ego is like, no, that's not right, I don't agree, you're just going to say, I don't agree. And like, you're not going to think of it any further. You're just going to think of reasons why you're right, as opposed to reasons why I might be right. Whereas if it's a story, you might, like, there's no defenses that come up. You know, you get these, and I think as Francisco said, like, stories are sneaky. They sneak past the defenses and they kind of get through with the message. So I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, no, me too. And I think, you know, often we can forget about that, but the audience can be defensive with particular topics, but the ability of a story to break through and you know, as Francesco said, being a bit sneaky, having this kung fu sort of ability to get through was entertaining and interesting. And I think one of the things that I liked as we've done some of those type of episodes is sometimes we have an opportunity or ability to put some of them in practice ourselves. And, you know, I felt with the storytelling, that was one that you were just very passionate about trying to put that into practice fairly quickly and, you know, having good success with that. So, you know, that's a nice connection when you can have an interview with a guest, take some learnings, really, really capture those learnings and then almost immediately put into practice. Like, I thought that was wonderful.
Yeah. And I think it comes back down to when it's fresh in your mind, it's easy. But over time, you're like, okay, now you just revert back to your old patterns. So if you don't keep refreshing, you don't keep using the same skills, even though you know that it's important and effective. But yeah, definitely a very informative, I think, topics was on storytelling. Was there any topics that kind of stood out to you as well? Other topics that you felt was quite interesting?
Oh yeah, I was looking through all the episodes, you know, thinking leadership, relationships, parenting, culture, grief, sex, depression, addiction, technology, empathy, curiosity, forgiveness, storytelling, sales, feedback. There's just so many topics there, and I think they're all interesting in their own right. that some that I found that I enjoyed more, I think, because of the season of life that I'm in at the moment. So, you know, some of them, you know, such as I think a lot of the mental health type episodes, episodes where there was some psychology episodes about being yourself. And then the episodes where the ones on improvisation and clowning and those type of episodes, which were fun and different, but so connected, because, you know, when you are like a clown or when you are truly improvising, then you have to be very present. You have to just sort of be that feeling that's coming through your body at the time, as opposed to some, you know, preconceived or some orchestrated person. And I think I connected well to them. What about you? You know, I think coming into the podcast, I would think, you know, Devon's very into the leadership type topic. After you've done 50 episodes now, you know, do you have some favorite themes?
Yeah, I think there are a few, and it's interesting. We didn't go too much into the leadership topic, as maybe we could have, but I felt like there's enough leadership podcasts out there. So I didn't want to just copy that. But I think the people we did have on, I think David Neal and Ryan Hartley, both, yes. I felt like they were just the perfect guests for what I wanted to showcase in terms of leadership and what I think might be missing in terms of leadership. Because I think a lot of leadership focuses on managing people better. And I think it misses treating people like humans, and also not just because it's the right thing to do, but also because it's more effective. You know, yes. So I think having them on, and also kind of the fact that they've come from sectors that are more frontline, high stakes, so military, police, right. You know, so people you'd think, okay, would be more tough, but it's interesting that actually it's more human in terms of to influence people. Like, they take a much more human approach and to get those results and to drive people in those conditions and environments. So I found that really interesting. So especially around leadership not being about you, I think that was quite interesting. So leadership is service, and it being heart-centered. So it's kind of coming about, if you put the team ahead of yourself, you'll get their buy-in, you'll influence much more than if you try to do it for your own ends. And then also, I think one was particularly interesting was around the David Neal one, was about boundaries and how the more boundaries you have in place, the more freedom you can give. And I think that's a very interesting one, where you can either micromanage someone, but it just means you didn't give them enough boundaries for them to make their own decisions. So you have to now do the thinking for them. Whereas if you can give them very clear boundaries to say, hey, you can play as much as you want within this kind of these parameters, then you don't need to micromanage them. They know where they can go and can't go, and they will make decisions themselves. So I thought that was a really insightful point as well in terms of leadership, which is not one that I hear very often.
Yeah, no, I agree. They were powerful messages, powerful guests, and such meaningful things to take away that really work in organizations that are significant organizations. So I think, you know, many of us in whichever type of organization we're in, we can apply those learnings and messages. I was gonna ask you, you know, we did all those topics. Do you feel that there were some topics you would have liked to have done, or maybe look forward to do if we were to resume the podcast again at some point, that you felt like, I would like to do this topic a bit more. I didn't really get into these particular things, and that would have been good.
That's a good question. I think there was definitely guests that I had on my shortlist that I was like, oh, it would have been really nice to talk to them. But it wasn't necessarily niche topics as much. I think there was the topics I was thinking about was more around communication. I felt like we were kind of going into very niche topics of communication, but not really specifically focusing on communication as well. And so I think there was maybe an opportunity for us to look at communication more as a topic itself. And so I had someone in mind for that. There was maybe more kind of on the HR side as well, that I thought, you know, so it's kind of like, why do people leave the organizations? Like, why do people, you know, so like, what are the key reasons people leave? And it often comes down to relationships with managers, which, you know, is quite interesting. And like, what are the key reasons for that? But you know what, I'm actually quite happy with how broad we were able to get. I don't think that there's any topic that I was like, oh, really missed out on that one.
I think I agree. We've covered a diverse range of topics that are very appropriate topics. I know that people who are psychologists these days are busier than ever with the amount of people that are needing to see them. And I often gravitate towards those topics on psychology and mental health. And I think people who can help explain why do we do what we do, and maybe guests who've been able to turn their life around and make significant changes. One thing is to talk about the theory. One thing is to actually make some life changes. But as you say, we have had some of those guests on the podcast. We have had guests who've, you know, who've been able to make changes in their life and big changes. And you know, that is inspiring. And, you know, I think it feels great talking to those sort of people that, you know, you can make changes, and, you know, be more than happy to interview more of those type of guests in the future.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's one of the big benefits I've found from doing the podcast is meeting all these different people and hearing their stories and what they've got to share. So yeah, I think that was definitely one thing. It's only one thing I'll miss from not doing the podcast, because it just gives you a good excuse to talk to people, really. It's like, hey, I think you've got a very interesting story, or I think you've got a very interesting niche. I'd like to talk to you. Do you want to come on a podcast? It just sounds more attractive than saying, hey, I just want to talk to you.
No, you're right. And that will be a challenge with suspending the podcast, because I feel that I'm meeting lots of people now, I think, who would be, you'd be a great guest to have one on the show. On the show, but what show?
That's right. What one topic that I think that I also want to mention as well, that I think stood out, and it was a big theme and really important as well, was around the topic of empathy. Because I think before I started talking to guests about empathy, I tended to think it was more emotional. You know, it's kind of feeling what other people are feeling. And talking to, say, Daniel Murray, who really is about the business case for empathy, I found that was really interesting. And then his views were also then, you know, not confirmed, but supported by Dr. Ashok Bhattacharya, who also specializes in empathy. And they were kind of saying that empathy isn't about walking in someone else's shoes. It's more about seeing the world through someone else's eyes. So seeing it through their worldview, seeing it through their experience. So it's not about just putting yourself in their shoes through your lens of the world. It's looking at it through their lens of the world. And that's almost impossible to do, because, you know, you don't know what they believe. You don't know what their experiences are and what makes them see the world the way that they see it. But what was interesting was it's not just an emotional, yes, there is there's an element of emotion in there, but it can also be a very logical thing to do. And it's good for relationships to understand other people and how you might be impacting them, or what might be impacting them and you need to deal with them. So it's good for relationships, but it's also good for business, you know, so in terms of looking at your customers or your employees, or understanding the world through their lens helps you to make good decisions in a business setting as well. So it was just really interesting how it's considered such a soft skill, but really it's got some really tangible benefits, not just emotional benefits, but also very hard business benefits as well. So I thought that was quite an interesting point. And we were remiss to kind of have this conversation without mentioning empathy at all.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think for me, before getting into those discussions with people who are very much experts in the topic, was I would have considered myself to be pretty good at that soft skill of empathy. If I was to talk to people, or at least rate myself pre-discussions, I'd be rating myself pretty high. I think I'm very much a people person. I'm good with people. I can empathize. But, you know, listening to the description and with your reminder just then, we can all get so much better. And there are so many people I deal with where I don't look at the world through their eyes at all. And even though I think I'm fantastic at this skill, there is so much to improve on. And you're right, it impacts all of our relationships. And, I think in lots of life discussions, relationships are at the very heart of life. A theme that so many of our guests had, you know, Dr. Michelle Druin talked about, to love as much as we can, to love our people, to call your grandma. Craig Bulmer kept having in his episode about, it's not about us, it's about them. And he kept repeating this phrase, it's all about them. It's not about you, it's not about us, it's about them. It's about the other person. And so a topic that did come up a lot, you are not your audience. Again, looking at it from not how you expect it to be. It's going to be a great presentation, but you're not them. They might not want your presentation. They might not want you, Mark, acting like Elvis Presley tonight. they might be in a different mood altogether, and you are not them. And so that topic of empathy is such a powerful topic, and I think that everyone can get better at that topic.
And I think it's very much like, I think they call it the Dunning-Kruger effect, where if you're really bad at it, you think you're really good at it. And it's only, it's only when you start like training or trying to get good at it, you realize how bad you really are. And yes. I definitely felt this that across, you know, the process that, you know, of learning more about these topics. And one example that came to mind, because again, like to you, I was like, okay, now I've been talking about communication this whole time. I should be getting better at this. And I feel like, you know, I'm probably better than most people would be considering how much time and energy and attention I've given to this. But then I had this conversation and it's like, you laugh because I did like literally everything wrong, right? And so again, it was like, I was rushed. I was in a meeting and I was like, oh, I need to get some HR admin stuff done with this one person. And I just need them to agree on something so that I can send them a documentation to confirm what, you know, it's pretty been much decided, but I just need them to say, yep, we're happy with that. And so while I was in the meeting, I was instant messaging this person saying, hey, you know, we're doing this process, this HR process. And it was about salary as well, right? So it wasn't just like a trivial topic. So I was like, and so in hindsight, like, that's just not a conversation you have over instant messaging while you're distracted. So I was like, okay, so we were thinking of, you know, changing it to this amount. Are you happy with that? And, you know, I was thinking this is a good offer. So there would be no reason to not accept, this is in my mind. Anyway, so I could see there's some hesitation, kind of, you know, the responses were kind of long and hesitant. I was like, okay, now let me call them after this. So after my meeting, I gave them a call and I thought the conversation went really well. And then about 2 hours later, I get a phone call from their manager because I was the manager once removed. And I get the phone call from the manager saying, hey, just letting you know, like, this person was in tears after having the conversation with you. I was like, really? Because this is not how the conversation went. Like, it was over the phone, so I couldn't see them, right? Mm-hmm. But that's not how I thought the conversation was going. But obviously, I was doing pretty much everything wrong. It was a high-stakes conversation, didn't make the time for it, dropped it on them at no notice, did it over the phone instead of like through video at least, because, you know, I couldn't do it in person. But it's just everything that I did was wrong. And then to think, even after all that, I thought it was okay. I thought I'd saved it. And then to then get the feedback, no, actually, that actually didn't go very well. And, you know, I've spoken to them and reassured them because, again, like, this person didn't know me as well. So there was a level of trust that I hadn't built up to that point, which is also a problem. So if I had a level of trust already, it would have been no issue. I think we'd have been fine. But the fact that the person didn't know me, my intent, and, you know, just how I approach things, they were reading things into what I was saying or doing that wasn't my intent at all. So it just again reminded me of how easy it is for communication to go wrong and for you to think you're doing well when the other person might be walking away thinking something completely different. And I was lucky enough to get the feedback, right? What if that person didn't call me? Like, I would have thought everything was fine, you know? Yeah. So just the fact that I got the feedback was really, really helpful and really beneficial, but it just shows me as a wow. You think you know, you think you came across well, but you never know because you don't know how it's landing. You just don't.
Yeah, no, and good story. And so many themes to our podcast episodes through that story, one of which the impact a leader has on the employee and any little thing, even a phone call or even an email at a particular hour can put stress, pressure that the leader's not thinking when they're sending it. And the impact that has on another person, I think, was a very insightful learning that came through our podcast episodes. But also your story reminds me of, you know, we've done 50 episodes now. And through those 50 episodes, that you and me go on our own journeys where we at different times could have relationship challenges, could have issues with family or friends, and have different struggles. And then when you're actually in a situation yourself and you've, it's one thing to talk on the podcast with a guest and now I'm in it myself, I'm thinking, I know what to do. I feel like I've just spoken to an expert. I should know what to do, but this is not easy. And I'm not doing any of the things I'm supposed to do. I'm doing the complete opposite. So I know I've had moments like that through the podcast. And then I think having a big family and having children, I've had one of my children seeing a counselor. And listening to the feedback that she has of a counselor that she liked and one that she didn't like, and a bit like your story, she said to me that, you know, I'm talking and the counselor's just typing things on the computer while I'm talking. It's like she's not even listening to me. And then, you know, we did an episode on giving feedback. And so I gave the counselor feedback, and the counselor was really happy to get that feedback because she said, I was just making notes. And it was, you know, I wanted to get to the heart of it and capture the important things. But I didn't realize that the message that I was giving was I was not interested in not listening and maybe writing a report to then go tell someone else about what I've just said, and that having issues for the person you're dealing with. And such a simple story has so many themes and links. Another one that came up from one of my children recently is, if someone's upset in the playground and they're crying, if you really want to help them, you don't go walk up to them and say, are you upset? She goes, of course I'm upset. I'm crying. It's like, you know, and, you know, that different people want you to deal with things in different ways. But that also the point that you just made about building the relationship. Often we want to fix something and solve it straight away. But if you haven't done that basic relationship building first, even though you feel I haven't got time for this, it might take you a lot longer to get to where you want to get.
Yeah, it's really the upfront investment to save your time down the track as opposed to taking you the long time and being ineffective at the time when you need it. And it also reminds me a little bit of what you, this is one of our earlier episodes with Tina Robinson, and a quote that she said stuck with me as well. And her quote was, all behavior is communication. And I think that was just something that stuck with me as well, because I think similar to what you were saying, like the psychologist, you know, he's typing on his computer, that's communicating something. So it may not, the behavior may not be the intent of what he wants to communicate, but it's communication nonetheless. So I thought that was quite powerful too. So Mark, kind of looking back, is there any other moments that stood out to you or anything else that you think, well, maybe put it this way. If you had to recommend an episode to someone, which episode do you think you'd be most likely to recommend?
I mean, I guess it depends on what stage the person's at and what they're experiencing is my answer to which episode I'd recommend. I want to episode Chris Mahefka's episode on Master of Your Life and Captain of Your Soul. I think that's the one I connected with the most. But at the same time, I recommend that. I have this thought going through my head is just because you liked it doesn't mean they like it. So that's number one, but it's closely followed by, you know, Dr. Michelle's Druin on the impact of technology. Amanda's episode I loved on erotic empathy, Jessica Joel's episode on the Danish way of parenting. They're all up there. I feel like recommending all of them, but and many more too. But I think they were the ones that hit the spot the most for me. What about you? Which, you know, if I force you, what's your one episode that you would recommend?
Yeah, I know it is a bit like choosing between children. It's it's hard. And I think in the past, when I've recommended episodes, it's usually, like you said, been about what they might be interested in. So if it's a parent, I would definitely recommend Jessica Joel Alexander's episode on the Danish way of parenting. If it's someone who does a lot of public speaking, I would definitely do recommend the storytelling episode. Probably Francisco Mafuz, I think, is a good one in terms of knowing storytelling well. Leadership, I would recommend David Neal as a starting point. I felt like that was a really meaty episode on leadership. But empathy, I'd probably say maybe Dr. Ashok Bhattacharya. His one on empathy was really good. And also, I think the one with Jason Rosoff was good on feedback. So managers giving feedback. I think, you know, it's really about that radical candor, about caring personally and while challenging directly. So I think that was a really good one too. But yeah, if I had to choose one, I mean, I might just choose my favorite one, which is probably the one with Dr. Timothy Levine. So I think if I had to recommend one, I'd probably go with him. I felt like that probably gave a good overview of communication, you know, in general. So which is probably most in line with the podcast. I know we've colored, you know, over the lines a lot in terms of the topics that we were pursuing. But I think if you're interested in communication, then his one is probably going to be very interesting, especially, you know, because it's also dealing about deception as well, which is also an interesting topic, I feel. So that would probably be my number one recommendation if anyone hasn't seen that or heard that one, Dr. Timothy Levine's episode, I think will give you a good flavor for what the podcast is about and what communication is and the power of communication.
Yeah, I think that's great, and I know you really did enjoy that one and took a lot away from it. I think it's really interesting for me that both of our top recommendations aren't in the top two list of of downloads. So, and I guess it goes to show that the message that a lot of our guests gave us that, you know, just because we really like something doesn't mean that the listener really likes the same topic.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But I think this is really fun to reflect on the episodes and the lessons we've learned. And I think, like you said, we can spend the rest of our life trying to implement what we've learned. And I think there's a point where, you know, just because you know better doesn't mean you do better. It's about practicing, not about knowing necessarily. So I think definitely we know enough. Now we need to go and practice, you know, as with anything in life. So definitely now for me, the focus is about practicing, not so much about learning more. I feel like if I can implement at least half or even a quarter of what I've learned, I think it'll be well worth it.
Yes, and I think a good message as we take a break from the podcast and you know, reflect on what's really to come in the future. This might be the last episode. We will certainly miss some of these experiences if we're not to do it anymore. And I know, Devan, in particular, you were very passionate about starting the podcast. I think from memory, for a reason, because you noticed that a lot of people that you would come into contact with wanted some sort of help or guidance with their relationships or some challenge in their relationships. And they would often come to you for some help, and then you thought, well, this could be an interesting topic for the broader society. So let's do a podcast. So, you know, just reflecting back on that as one of I think a few reasons why you started the podcast. How do you feel now wrapping up?
Yeah, I feel like definitely we've covered enough topics that I think would help people to have better relationships. Because I think what I was noticing, people would just be talking. It's like they're talking a different language, right? It's like you just don't understand where the other person's coming from. And they say something, you say something, and it's just not lining up. You're literally talking past each other. And I think a lot of these episodes, especially the ones about empathy, I think really will help people to avoid that and just to be more aware of how communication works. Just because you said it doesn't mean it's happened. You know, it's probably the first one. Yeah. Like it's, you know, Jason Rosoff kind of said, like, you know, I think he talked about a quote from Kim Scott, who wrote Radical Candor, and she was saying something like, feedback is not measured at the speaker's mouth, but at the listener's ear. And I think that's true for all communication. It's not measured at your mouth. It's measured at the, you know, what the other person hears, and not just what they hear, but how they interpret what they hear. So I feel like, or I hope that we've given the listeners enough things to go by to help align what gets interpreted versus what goes out of the mouth, if you know what I mean. So that there's a consistent message all the way through. So that you can frame your message in a way that's understood by the person and through their filter of the world, not through your filter of the world. And that's one thing that also I'm very thankful for is, I mean, the podcast wasn't, there's definitely something that we thought we'll learn along the way. But yeah, I'm really grateful for everyone who has tuned in to listen, and especially people who've reached out and given feedback. I think it's been really encouraging. Like we've received some really lovely notes from people about what they've taken from the episodes and how it's helped them. And I mean, for us, that makes it all worth it. You know, this is not something that we were paid to do or anything. It's really for us to learn. But if we can see, you know, hearing that other people have also learned something along the way or have appreciated what we've done with the content we've put out, that alone is what makes it worth it for us. So thank you to everyone who's tuned in, and thank you for everyone who's reached out and given us some feedback or the notes that you've left us. They really do mean a lot, and really appreciate you taking the time to tell us what you thought.
Yes, and I'd say continue to take the time. I think there's nothing more special than when someone else has reached out and said that they've got something from it. For me, it started with family, and even family saying that, you know, giving positive and good feedback on how appropriate and relevant some of the content was. But then over time, as that went to complete strangers, that was very rewarding, and the feedback is great. So I would think that, you know, if you've got something for some of the episodes, or if you're still listening and go back and reflect, please continue to share the feedback and your thoughts and what you gained and what topics you found most rewarding. But I think it'll be a bit bittersweet now, Devon, a bit sad to slow down and stop. I think you in particular will be missing a large chunk of this, but I know all at the same time it's a good season in life to reflect and even put some of this into practice, and that can be exciting.
Yeah, and also if anyone does want to reach out still, like it's not like we've gone anywhere, so you can always still find us on LinkedIn. So Mark Tannen and Devon Gradwell on LinkedIn. That's probably the best place if you wanted to connect or get in touch. I always love hearing from people, and especially if there's anything you've got from the episode, we'd love to hear from you. So feel free to reach out. We'll accept anyone who reaches out. So don't be scared. You won't get rejected.
Yeah, that's right. Don't be shy. We'd love to hear from you, and don't feel afraid to drop us a note.
Okay, so we're about to sign off. So any final words, Mark, before we sign off?
No, thank you, Devon. It's been a pleasure. It's been fun. It's been educational. There are times where I thought I haven't been prepared, and I was probably more prepared. And there were so many personal takeaways, and you can see them in some of the show notes that have been captured. And you know, I will go in and look at some of them again myself. And so I've had a great time. It's been fun. It's been a great learning experience. It's been rewarding. So thank you, Devon. Thank you for for initiating this whole podcast process, and it's been great. And it's going to be a little bit sad now as we say goodbye, but the episodes are still there.
Yeah, and thank you, Mark, because I probably wouldn't have done it if you didn't come along the journey with me. In fact, when I first pitched the idea to you, I thought you were just going to say no, don't have time, and I was going to use that as an excuse to not do anything. So the fact that we were doing it together actually is probably what made it all happen. So thank you for for helping and getting this off the ground as well. We wouldn't have been able to do it without you. The last thought maybe I'd leave people with, and it's really been a theme, and you know, similar to what you were talking about with the episode with Chris, and also the reason that we're taking a break. And it really comes down to the tension between doing and being. So, you know, we always want to do and achieve and accomplish. But on the flip side, we probably get more fulfillment out of being, and, you know, which is more about relationships and enjoying the people in our lives. And so, you know, the last thing I maybe leave listeners with is, you know, a lot of this communication, a lot of it is about being more effective in your doing. But also it's about being a bit more present and intentional about being as well. And definitely want to encourage people to not just focus on one at expense of the other, but you definitely need to find a balance between those two. And, you know, I'm still trying to figure out where that balance sits for myself. And I think that's a challenge every person needs to find for themselves. But I think it's definitely helpful to think of it in the way that you need to find a balance between doing and being. And I think we live in a culture where doing is definitely much more rewarded than being. And sometimes being is a bit more countercultural. So probably takes a bit more intentional thought. So that's probably the final thought I maybe leave listeners with today as we wrap up. All the best. Thank you for listening, and thank you for your time.